Hallelujah. Good Sabbath, everyone. Psalm 119 is the longest book in the Bible, and the reason it's so long is because it's an acrostic poem, which means that it has a stanza for each letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each stanza in the book of Psalms 119, each stanza has 8 verses. So you multiply 22 letters times 8 verses, that comes up with 176 verses in the book of in Psalm 119. And I'm going to sing for you one of those stanzas, which has been boiled down to 3 verses. So I'll just sing that. It's called, "Oh, How I Love Torah." Oh, how I love Torah, it is ever with me. It is my meditation all the day in my thoughts. I have held back my feet from the ways of this world. You have given me wisdom by your righteous commands. Oh, how I love Torah, it is ever with me. I have more understanding than the ancients of old. From your precepts I learn every false way to hate. I have more understanding, for I dwell on Torah. Oh, how I love Torah, it is ever with me. Your commands make me wiser than my unfriendly foes. Oh, how sweet are your words, more than honey is sweet. From your judgments, O Yahweh, let me never depart. I thought I'd read to you the whole 8 verses, beginning at 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your Torah. It is my study all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your witnesses are my study. I understand more than the ages, for I have observed your orders. I understand more than the aged, for I have observed your orders. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I might guard your word. I have not turned aside from them, your right rulings, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet to my taste has your word been, more than honey to my mouth. From your orders I get understanding. Therefore, I have hated every false way. This song by Dwight Armstrong from Psalm 119, verses 97 through verse 104, expresses a lot of what the psalmist and I thought about Yahweh's Torah. Torah is a word referring to the commands of Yahweh in the first 5 books of the scriptures, except for Genesis, except for a few verses in Genesis. The word is also used, the word Torah, is also used to refer to the first 5 books, which are said to have been written by Moses. Yahweh's commands from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy have been listed by many by rabbis in groups by subject. See the control section below. from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, I have plagiarized a few remarks about Torah. The Law of Moses, or Torah Moshe, also called the Mosaic Law, primarily refers to the Torah, or the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. It is the law revealed to Moses by Yahweh. The Law of Moses, or Torah of Moses, the Law of Moses is a biblical term first found in Joshua 8, verses 31 and 32, where Joshua writes the Hebrew words Torah Moshe. And writes it on the altar, on an altar of stone at Mount Ebal. The scripture's text continues in verse 34. Afterward, he read all the words of the teachings, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the Torah. The term Book of the Torah occurs 15 times in the Hebrew Bible, that's the old, what we sometimes call the Old Testament, a further 7 times in the New Testament, and repeatedly in the Second Temple period, intertestamental, rabbinical, and peristic literature. The Hebrew word for the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, Torah, which means law, and that was translated into Greek as nomos, or law. It refers to the same five books termed the English word Pentateuch, which is from the Latinized Greek five books, implying the five books of Moshe. According to some scholars, use of the name Torah to designate the five books of Moses of the Hebrew Bible is clearly documented only from the second century before the Common Era, before Yahshua. In modern usage, Torah can refer to the first five books of the Torah, of the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, or the 613 instructions and commandments found in the second to the fifth books of Torah, and also to the entire Tanakh, that's the whole Old Testament, or sometimes called the Torah, and even all of the oral law as well, which is probably unjustified. Among English-speaking believers, the term the law can refer to the whole Pentateuch, including Genesis, but this is generally in relation to the New Testament, where the nomos, or the law, sometimes refers to all five books, including Genesis. The use of the Hebrew term Torah, or law, from the first five books is considered misleading by today's Christian Bible scholar John von Setters, because he says the Pentateuch consists of about one half law and the other half narrative. In the ancient Near East, the Law of Moses was different from other legal codes in the ancient Near East, because transgressions were seen as offenses against Yahweh rather than solely as offenses against the society or civil law. The contrast with the Sumerian code of Ur Nammu, which is from about 2,000 years before Yahshua, and the Babylonian code of Hammurabi, which is about 1,700 years before Yahshua, about 250 years before the Exodus, of which almost half concerns contract law. However, the influence of the ancient Near Eastern legal tradition on the law of ancient Israel is recognized and well documented. For example, in principles such as lex talionis, an eye for an eye, and in the content of the provision of the provisions, some similarities are striking, such as the provisions concerning a man-goring ox. The Code of Hammurabi talks about that also. Exodus, and that's in Exodus 21, verses 28 to 32. Some writers have posited direct influence. David P. Wright, for example, asserts that the covenant code is directly, primarily, and throughout dependent upon the laws of Hammurabi, a creative rewriting of Mesopotamian sources. And that's pretty hard to believe because the law of Moses is sprinkled throughout the second through fifth books of the Bible. So it would be hard for somebody to take it directly from here and put it here, 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 and here, and here, and make it all come out right, which Yahweh does. Okay. Others posit indirect influence, such as via Aramaic or Phoenician intermediaries. There is consensus that the similarities are a result of inheriting common oral traditions. Another example, the Israelite sabbatical year has antecedents in the Arcadian Mesharim edicts granting periodic relief to the poor. An important distinction, however, is that in the ancient Near East legal codes, as in more recently unearthed Ugaritic texts, an important and ultimate role in the legal process was assigned to the king. Ancient Israel, before the monarchical period, beginning with King David, was set up as a theocracy rather than a monarchy, although Yahweh is most commonly portrayed like a king. In the Hebrew Bible, we read about Moses and authorship of the law. Main articles in Wikipedia are listed here. According to the Hebrew Bible, Moses was the leader of early Israel out of Egypt, and traditionally, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible are attributed to him. The law attributed to Moses, specifically the laws set out in the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, as a consequence, came to be considered supreme over all other sources of authority. Any king and or his officials and the Levites were guardians and interpreters of the law. The book of Deuteronomy records Moses as saying, Take this book of the law and put it by the side of the ark of the covenant of Yahweh. Similar passages referring to the law include, for example, Exodus 17:14, and Yahweh said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And that's in Exodus 24:4. Okay. And Yahweh said unto Moses, you shall write these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. And in Leviticus 26:46, these are the decrees, the laws, and the regulations that Yahweh established on Mount Sinai between himself and the Israelites through Moses. Later references to the law on the Hebrew Bible, the Book of Kings, relates how a law of Moses was discovered in the temple during the reign of King Josiah. That's about 600 years before Yahshua. Okay. The content of the law is spread among the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and then reiterated and added to by Deuteronomy, and this includes several sections. And I might mention that Deuteronomy is a record of the final sermon that Moses gave the people of Israel, and it encompasses basically all of the Torah. So the content of the Torah includes the Ten Commandments, moral laws about such things as murder, theft, honesty, adultery, etc., social laws about property, inheritance, marriage, and divorce, food laws, what is clean and unclean, cooking and storing food, purity laws, on menstruation, emission of semen, skin diseases, mildew, etc. Feasts, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks. Trumpets, including the Day of the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. Sacrifices and offerings, the sin offering, burnt offering, whole offering, heave offerings, meat offerings, wave offerings, peace offering, drink offering, thanks offering, dough offering, incense offering, the red heifer, the Azazel goat, first fruits, etc., instructions for the priesthood and the high priest, including tithes. Instructions for regarding the tabernacle, which were later applied to the temple in Jerusalem, including those concerning the Holy of Holies, I won't repeat that in Hebrew, containing the Ark of the Covenant, in which were the tablets of the law, Aaron's rod, and the manna, instructions for the construction of the various altars in the temple area, forward-looking instructions for the time when Israel would demand a king. Christian interpretation. Christians' views on the Old Covenant, Orthodox Christians regard the law of Moses as still fully in effect, but transformed and fulfilled in a number of ways. Other believers believe that only parts dealing with the Mosaic law, as opposed to ceremonial law, are still applicable. Other believers believe that none apply, Dual covenant theologians believe that the Old Covenant remains valid only for Jews, and a minority have the view that all parts still apply to believers in Yahshua and in the New Covenant without any changes. I might mention that I'm one of those believers. Of course, we cannot obey commands which do not apply to our gender or which require the temple or the priests, such as animal sacrifices. We can't keep those laws because they just don't apply in our situation. We can learn more about the covenant in Exodus 19. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt, gone through the Red Sea, and been fed by miracles from Yahweh. And then they arrive at Mount Sinai. And this is in the third month after leaving Egypt. We read in Exodus 19, beginning at verse 4, "You have seen what I did to the Mitzrayites, the Egyptians, and how I have bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." This is Yahweh speaking. "And now, if you diligently obey my voice and shall guard my covenant, then you shall be my treasured possessions above all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a reign or a kingdom of priests and a set apart nation. Those are the words which you are to speak to the children of Israel," what Yahweh said to Moshe. Exodus 19:7, "And Moshe came and called for the elders of the people and set before them all these words which Yahweh had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, 'All that Yahweh has spoken, we shall do.' So Moshe brought back the words of the people to Yahweh." We read in Deuteronomy 26, beginning at verse 16, "Today, Yahweh your Elohim is commanding you to do these laws and write rulings, and you shall guard and do them with all your heart and with all your being." And putting that in a military context, we view someone as guarding something when he's got his weapon and he's standing in front of the thing he's guarding, and he's going to make sure that nobody hurts it or does wrong with it. And whether it's a machine gun or a sword in ancient times, whatever it is, he's ready to give up his life rather than let that thing he's guarding be compromised. And so that's how Yahweh feels about his Torah. Verse 17, "You have today proclaimed that Yahweh is to be your Elohim and that you will walk in his ways and guard his laws and his commands and his right rulings, and obey his voice. And Yahweh has caused you to proclaim today to be his people, a treasured possession, as he has spoken to you, and to guard all his commands, so as to set you high above all nations which he has made, for praise and for a name, and for esteem, and for you to be set apart people to Yahweh your Elohim, as he has spoken." So he's pretty serious about this relationship between himself, Yahweh, and the people of Israel. Now, what about for New Testament believers? Has something changed? Well, the final word comes in Matthew 5, beginning at verse 17. Yahshua, the Messiah, said, Do not think. Now, you may say, nobody can tell me what to think. But Yahshua here is telling us what to think. Do not think I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. And that's a term that applies to the entire Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. For truly, I say to you, until the heaven and the earth pass away, one jot, and that's the little yod, the yod we call it in the Hebrew alphabet. It's like an apostrophe, just a very small letter. not one jot or one tittle, which I understand is a type of device of pronunciation, shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Whoever, then, breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so, shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. And I'm teaching them today, hoping that I will receive that reward. In John 1, verses 16 and 17, it states that out of his completeness, Yahshua, we all did receive, and favor upon favor. For the Torah was given through Moses, and the favor and the truth came through Yahshua the Messiah. So we can depend on his word. Now let's take a look at the new covenant in this regard. And the new covenant is an easy reference to remember. It's Jeremiah 31:31. And that's the kind of reference I like. and we read there, verses 31 through 40, "See, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda." At this time, there were two houses, the family of Israel, descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had split. And there were two groups, one called Israel and the other called Judah. And not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. And there's an interesting factor about this phrase, though I was a husband to them. This is repeated in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and that phrase is omitted. So we'll see that in a moment. my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, declares Yahweh, for this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after these days, declares Yahweh. It's going to be one house again. I shall put my Torah in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Note that the Torah, including the Torah commands, shall be in the hearts of the believers. Verse 34, and no longer shall they teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares Yahweh. For I shall forgive their trespasses and remember their sin no more. Thus said Yahweh, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the laws of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea and its waves roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. If these laws vanish from before me, declares Yahweh, Then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus said Yahweh, if the heavens above could be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I would also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, declares Yahweh. See, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, that the city shall be built for Yahweh from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate. This is the city of Jerusalem. And the measuring line shall again extend straight from the hill of Gareb. Then it shall turn toward Goah. And all the valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields as far as the Wadi Kidron to the corner of the horse gate toward the east is to be set apart to Yahweh. That's the whole city of Jerusalem. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down any more forever. And much of the above is repeated in Hebrews 8, verses 8 to 12. Hebrews 8, let's begin at verse 6. For now he has obtained a more excellent service, this is Yahshua, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was constituted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, that's the covenant we read about in Exodus 19, then no place would have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, see, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I shall conclude with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda a renewed covenant, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them. I guess that's a cheap replacement for though I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. Because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel, and after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws in their mind, and I shall write them on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall by no means teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know Yahweh, because they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, because I shall forgive their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawlessnesses, I shall no longer remember. By saying renewed, he has made the first old. Now what becomes old and growing aged is near disappearing. And I construe that as meaning the old written Torah that we find in the first five books of the scriptures. Here we see Yahweh telling about the renewed covenant, and this looks like the time after Yahshua returns to rule the earth. Yahshua will not only compel any surviving humans to observe all of Yahweh's Torah laws, he will also make it so that those followers of the Messiah who are changed at the Messiah's return will have a heart of obedience to his Torah. Today, we try to obey and yield ourselves to his Torah. But then he will make our hearts into hearts of willing obedience to all of Torah. I'm not sure how this works with our free will, but I know he will find a way to get all the creativity that we have to give and still have each of us insist on happily walking in Torah every moment. Yahshua did it, so maybe he will show us how we can do it too. Not having a physical body may make all the difference in that. Let's review some of the Torah commands with this in mind to see what it looks like. I should mention that there are about 613 commands to be found in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. 365 negative, don't do that, and 248 positive. Yes, you have to keep doing that. Some rabbis count more than 613 or different ones to make up that number. I got this from a list on Wikipedia. If you find a substantial difference, I'd be happy to hear about it. For now, 613 is enough for me to talk about. Yahshua talked about many of his commands, and I spoke about his commands at the Feast of Tabernacles a few years ago. If you want a copy of the book about that, please let me know, and I will provide it. It'd be good if you'd give me a little note or send a note to the assembly. I will be giving the command and the ISR, the Institute for Scriptural Research, scriptures verses that they're based upon. That will also be available in paper. Just ask. So now we begin reading about the reading the 613 laws. We won't do that all today. Okay. The first laws are about Yahweh. And number one is to know there is an Elohim, a mighty being. We find that in Exodus 20, verse 2. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage. Not to even number two, Torah command number two, is not to even think that there are other gods besides him. And the scripture behind that one is Exodus 20, verse 3, you have no other mighty ones against my face. Law number three, to know that Yahweh is one. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim, Yahweh is Echad. In Hebrew, that's Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. The word Echad can mean one. It can also mean in unity, so we understand that to mean Yahweh our Elohim is unified. There are two beings, the Father and the Son, and they are intimately connected together. They have perfect communication between the two of them and perfect agreement. Law number four, to love Yahweh, and that's in Deuteronomy 6:5. And you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being and with all your might. Command number five is to fear Yahweh. Deuteronomy 10, verse 20. Fear Yahweh your Elohim, serve him and cling to him and swear by his name. Law number six, to sanctify Yahweh's name. And that's in Leviticus 22:32. And do not profane my set-apart name, and I shall be set apart among the children of Israel. I am Yahweh who sets you apart. And command seven, not to profane Yahweh's name. And that's found in Leviticus 22:32. Not to which we just read. not to destroy, command number 8, not to destroy objects associated with Yahweh's name, Deuteronomy 12:2. Completely destroy all the places where the nations which you are dispossessing served their mighty ones. And you shall break down their altars and smash their pillars and burn their asherim with fire. And you shall cut down the carved images of their mighty ones, and do not do so to Yahweh your Elohim. So whatever the nations have been doing to their so-called gods, Yahweh says, don't do that to me. Command number 9, to listen to the prophet speaking in Yahweh's name. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, Yahweh your Elohim shall raise up for you a prophet like me from before your midst, from your brothers. Listen to him. And that's a prophecy of Yahshua. We find it again in Exodus 23. Command number 10, not to try Yahweh unduly. In Deuteronomy 6:16, it says, do not try Yahweh your Elohim as you tried him in Massah. The people were short of water, and they got rebellious about it. Command number 11, to emulate Yahweh's ways. Deuteronomy 28, verse 9, Yahweh does establish you as a set-apart people to himself if you guard the commands of Yahweh your Elohim and walk in his ways. Command number 12, to cleave to those who know Yahweh. And it says in Deuteronomy 10, verse 20, fear Yahweh your Elohim, serve him, and cling to him, and swear by his name. So that's what the rabbi thought came under the word to cleave to Yahweh. And then moral and social laws. Command number 13, to love other Jews. Now I have an issue with that. Jews are not the only ones who are worthy of our love. All Hebrews are part of the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we should love all of them. That's not easy to do, because when Israel came out of Egypt, they were approximately 2.5 million people. And now that the population of the earth has greatly increased, who knows how many tens or hundreds of millions of people are included in the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they're citing here Leviticus 19, verse 18. Do not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the children of your people, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. Command 14, to love converts. Deuteronomy 12, 18 and 19 says, he executes right ruling for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and a garment. You shall love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Mitzrayim. Command number 15, not to hate fellow believers. And I think I may have changed that to believers from something else. Leviticus 19:17 says, do not hate your brother in your heart. Reprove your neighbor for certain, and bear no sin because of him. So if you see one of your acquaintances, someone you know, sinning, and he may have been sinning against you, so you have personal evidence of it, you should reprove him and go to him and tell him, you're doing something that Yahweh says not to do. So please correct yourself so that he doesn't have to correct you, because that can be very painful. And I love you, and I don't want to see you hurt in that way. And if we don't do that, then we are bearing a sin. So, command number 16, to reprove a sinner, which we just read about. And number 17 is not to embarrass others. So you would go to the person personally in private. Command 18, not to oppress the weak. And that's found in Exodus 22:21. Do not tread down the sojourner or oppress him. That's a traveler. For you were sojourners in the land of Mitzrayim. And I don't know if they are still in operation, but there used to be a Traveler's Aid Society, probably in response to this command. Command 19, not to gossip. Oh, that's easy. We can do that. Leviticus 19:16, do not go slandering among your people. Do not stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. So pay attention. Who's talking here? Not to say bad things about other people. Command 25, not to take revenge. Leviticus 19:18, do not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the children of your people. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. Not to bear a grudge. Leviticus 19:18, which we just read. Command 22. To learn Torah. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. And you shall impress them upon your children, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Command 23, to honor those who teach and know Torah. Leviticus 19:32. Rise up before the gray-headed, and you shall favor the face of an old man, and shall fear Elohim, I am Yahweh. He said it, so be sure and do it. Command number 24, do not inquire into idolatry. Leviticus 19:4 says, do not turn to idols, and do not make for yourselves molded mighty ones. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So don't worry about those so-called Elohims and all that. Don't mess with them. We've got one Elohim. Command 25, not to follow the whims of your heart or what your eyes see. And in Numbers 15, verses 38 to 41, we read, speak to the children of Israel, and you shall say to them to make tzitzit on the corners of their garments throughout their generations. So that means still today. And to put a blue cord in the tzitzit of the corners. Verse 39 in this. And it shall be for you a tzitzit, and you shall see it, and shall remember all the commands of Yahweh, and shall do them. And do not search after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you went whoring, so that you remember and shall do all my commands, and be set apart unto Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim to be your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim. So, tzitzit are still important. Tzitzit, these are a shade of blue. And command number 26, not to blaspheme. Exodus 22:28. Do not revile Elohim or curse a ruler of your people. And I'm not sure that that applies to do not blaspheme, but that's what they use. Command 27, not to worship idols in the manner they are worshipped. Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5 says, you do not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of that which is in the heavens above, or which is in the earth beneath, or which is in the waters under the earth. You do not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the crookedness of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And command number 28, not to worship idols in the four ways we worship Yahweh. And we just read the scripture that is behind that. Command 29, not to make an idol for yourself. And that's covered in that previous scripture also. And command 30, not to make an idol for others. So you can't make one for yourself, and you can't make one for other people either. Command 31, not to make human forms, even for decorative purposes. And we're going to read Exodus 20, verse 21. See if you find this command, not to make human forms, even for decorative purposes. In this verse, it says, so the people stood at a distance, but Moshe drew near in the thick darkness where Elohim was. Now, I didn't read any of that that the rabbis have put in command number 31. So it's probably a good thing to observe, but it's not in the Torah, as far as I can tell. Command 32, not to turn a city to idolatry. And in Deuteronomy 13:13, we read, some men, sons of Belial, have gone out of you, out of your midst, and led the inhabitants of the city, of their city, away, saying, let us go and serve other mighty ones. Mighty ones whom you have not known. See, we're going to give you some new information. It's going to make you wise. We heard that before. Verse 14, then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently, and see if the matter is true, and established that this abomination was done in your midst. And you shall certainly smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, put it under the ban. Putting it under the ban means that everybody in there loses their life. It's over. Excuse me. What did I put in that water? Command 31, not to make human forms even for decorative purposes. That's from Exodus 20:21. So they say. So the people stood at a distance, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where Elohim was. I wouldn't say that comes from the scriptures. Command 32, not to turn a city to idolatry. Oh, I think we already covered that, didn't we? Yes. Command 33, to burn a city that has turned to idol worship. Deuteronomy 13, 17. And none of that which is put under the ban is to cling to your hand, so that Yahweh turns from the fierceness of his displeasure and shall show you compassion, love you, and increase you as he swore to your fathers. Command 34, not to rebuild it as a city. And that was just covered in Deuteronomy 13, 17. Number 35, do not derive benefit from it. Deuteronomy 13, 16, and gather its plunder into the middle of the street and completely burn with fire the city and all its plunder before Yahweh your Elohim, and it shall be a heap forever, never to be built again. So plunder is the good stuff that we would take from a city we had conquered, but he says, you don't take it, you burn it, and the rest of the city. Command 36, not to missionize an individual to idol worship. Deuteronomy 13, verses 12 through 16. When you hear someone in one of your cities, which Yahweh your Elohim gives you to dwell in, saying, some men, sons of Belial, have gone out of your midst and led the inhabitants of their city astray, saying, let us go and serve other mighty ones whom you have not known. Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently, and see if the matter is true and established, that this abomination was done in your midst. And you shall certainly smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, putting it under the ban, and all that is in it, its livestock, with the edge of the sword, and gather all its plunder into the middle of the street, and completely burn with fire the city and all its plunder before Yahweh your Elohim, and it shall be a heap forever, never to be built again. Command 37, not to love the idolater. Deuteronomy 13, verses 6 to 11. When your brother, the son of your mother, or the son of your daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own being, entices you secretly, saying, let's go after serve other mighty ones, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the mighty ones of the people which are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. Do not agree with him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pardon him, nor spare him, nor conceal him, but you shall certainly kill him. Your hand is first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people, and you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from Yahweh, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim from the house of bondage. And let all Israel hear and fear, and not again do any such evil matter as this in your midst. And then there are some similar commands. Number 38, not to cease hating the idolater. And number 39, not to save the idolater. And command number 40, not to say anything in the idolater's defense, which was just covered, and not to refrain from incriminating the idolater. And number 42, not to prophesy in the name of idolatry. And that's Deuteronomy 13, 14. Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently, and see if the matter is true and established, that this abomination was done in your midst. And command 43, not to listen to a false prophet. And Deuteronomy 13 is a good chapter for this, but verse 4, I'm saying it's not worth this command. It says in Deuteronomy 13:4, walk after Yahweh your Elohim and fear him and guard his commands and obey his voice and serve him and cling to him. And that's supposed to be not to listen to a false prophet. So I didn't see that that established that command, but it's a good thing to do. Command 44, not to prophesy falsely in the name of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other mighty ones, even that prophet shall die. Command 45, not to be afraid of the false prophet. And in Deuteronomy 18:22, we read, when the prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, and the word is not, or comes not, that is the word which Yahweh has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. So if the prophet says such and such is going to happen in 2025, or let's say 2017, and it doesn't happen, then that prophet is a false prophet. And there have been many who have committed that sin. Don't be afraid of them. Command 46, not to swear in the name of an idol. And that's in Exodus 23:13. It says, and in all that I have said to you, take heed, and make no mention of the name of other mighty ones. Let it not be heard out of your mouth. Command 47, not to perform ov, or the office of a medium. Leviticus 19:31. Do not turn to mediums, and do not seek after spiritists to be defiled by them. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Command 48, not to perform yidoni, or the magical seer, which is basically the same scripture. Command 49, not to pass your children through the fire to Molech. And that's in Leviticus 18:21. And do not give any of your offspring to pass through to Molech, and do not profess the name of your Elohim. I am Yahweh. I'm sorry, do not profane the name of your Elohim. That makes a lot more sense when you read it, right? Verse 50, command number 50, not to erect a pillar in a public place to worship. And that's in Deuteronomy 16:22. Do not set up a pillar which Yahweh or Elohim hates. And command 51, do not bow down before a smooth stone. And that's in Leviticus 26:1. Do not make idols for yourselves, and do not set up a carved image or a pillar for yourselves, and do not place a stone image in your land to bow down to it, for I am Yahweh your Elohim. Okay. Have you all had enough? Shall we continue at another time? Let's do that.